And there's some minutes that we have, if there's enough time, other than that, that's the agenda. The apologies that we have is from Honorable Nolut Sunga, and that's the only apology that we have. Is the agenda in order? Yes? Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The department is led by the Director General. May I ask him to start with the briefing? And Honorable Members, I take it by now you know everyone else, and we don't have to introduce everyone, unless there's any change, DG. Is there anyone that is new? Is there anyone that has got a promotion? Anyone that has got a different designation that you can tell us? Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair, honored members, and our colleagues from the department, as well as the Sita and Uma Lucy. We have been called to present the progress report in respect to the fourth quarter of 2017-18 financial year, which we are doing that exactly. For the financial year 2017, the honorable members would remember that as a department.
Apologies, DJ. I'm informed that you have made changes, so can you just allow the members to get the report? Thank you very much. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. For the financial year 2017-18, we had 86 targets in the overall. And we've been presenting for each quarter progress report since the beginning of the financial year. Now, this is the last quarter that we are presenting progress report in terms of achieving the targets that were set in the annual performance plan of the department. In respect to this quarter, we had 57 targets, of which 52 of the fourth quarter have been achieved, which translates into 91%. That is slide 4. The 9% or 5 targets that were not achieved are in Program 1 as well as Program 3, of which the respective branches will be changing to why they were not achieved. Well, slide 4, Mki. We are currently processing now the compilation of the annual report as to the end of 31st March 2018, which would be due quite soon. And in respect to that, we would be getting now to progress in respect to each and every branch, of which I will ask Mr. Mabizela to take the committee through Program 3, that is University Education Branch.
Honourable Chairperson, DG, Mr. Mabizela is stuck at security to get through to the venue. Can we perhaps start with the next program and ask him to present as soon as he's here?
that the new DDG for university?
No. He is here representing Dr. Diana Parker, who unfortunately couldn't make it for this meeting. My apology, because I forgot to submit that apology earlier on, as well as the chair of the audit committee requested that we submit his apology, because he was supposed to be here, but unfortunately he's not able to make it, Chair.
Can the DG speak to the university presentation?
I can, Chair, but I made quite emphatically that the branches must actually own up in respect to the work that they are doing.
I'll appeal to the members not to ask questions to you.
All right. No, thank you very much. In respect to the university's branch, with respect to its performance, that is slide 5, 13 of the 15 targets for the fourth quarter were achieved, which is 87%. We've undertaken the review of the NSFAS Act, which is completed by now. Regulations have been approved and published in respect to that process. The 11 monitoring or oversight reports, which is a close out of the teaching development grant, close out of the research development grant, research outputs, infrastructure and efficiency grant, new universities earmarked grant, ministerial enrollment targets, institutional governance, staffing South Africa's universities framework, compliance with PHEIs, with the regulations, the BRICS partnerships, student leadership capacity development program, and also in respect to the court study report on first time entering undergraduates in higher education, was published on our website. Now, the two targets that were not achieved, which is constituting about 13%, is the national plan for PSET. It's not completed. It's because the work that we undertook in respect to consultation, especially working out the costing with the National Treasury in respect to the implementation of the plan, is still under process, you know, at the present moment. And the other one is the policy framework on collaboration between professional bodies, government departments, and quality councils. And the reason is that the chief director driving the project resigned, and that placed some challenges in the project management, which led to some delays because we had to reconfigure and make some rearrangements from within the department. Now, if you look on reflections on strategic and or policy implications, the new funding allocated to support poor and working class students and for university subsidies, which is a block and earmark grants, have major strategic and policy implications in the entire system. Policies on student funding in respect to allowances as well as conditions on the university fee regulations will have to be developed and finalized for implementation for 2019. We are looking at finalizing those processes by end August this year. The modeling of the distribution of additional funds linked to financial health project and funding framework, consideration to be given to how the funds will be distributed in 2020-21 onwards to ensure sustainability in the context of the fee regulatory policy once it is developed and adopted for implementation in the entire system. The ISFAP pilot decisions on the proposed PPP, the student monitoring platform and wraparound support for all students funded through NSFAS and the ISFAP is still under development at the present moment. It's being piloted in a couple of institutions. The University Capacity Development Grant and the UCDG, they also need to align the student support plans at institutional level to support students funded through expanded DHET bursary, Funza Lushaka, ISFAP, and other bursaries that are in there in order to ensure that we increase success and performance of students by giving psychosocial support, academic support, and also support in respect to materials and other related support needs of students so that they are able to succeed in the studies they undertake, so that government can be able to derive value for the money it is investing. The policies to be finalized is on the internationalization of higher education, differentiation, African language policy, and regulations on institutional types linked to Higher Education Act. On the other significant achievements in the fourth quarter, Chair, is the implementation of the DHET bursary scheme for poor and working class students, including the development of the frequently asked questions document and extensive communication and consultation with the system to ensure that relative stability and incident of free registration period in 2018 is achieved, which actually happened, because you'll recall that the pronouncement was made on the 16th of December 2017 in respect to the substantial injection of funding into NSFAS, which increased the cap from 122,000 rand per family income per annum to 350,000 rand per family income. So there had to be a lot of engagement and processing of quite a number of issues, including making very clear communication and understanding as to how this injection would be administered at institutional level, and also in coordination with NSFAS as well as the department, so that there are no disruptions in the systems. And I think, Chair, we may ascertain that in respect to registration this academic year, there has been very minimal disruptions in the system. The University Capacity Development Program was implemented from January. It includes the fourth phase of the new generation of academics program, which we call it NGAP, which was launched in March 2018. 100 new posts allocated to universities and advertised for filling. This first phase of the university staff doctoral program, USDP, which was initiated in March 2018, will support approximately 140 university academics to achieve their PhD degrees. The entrepreneurship development in higher education strengthened and formalized into three-year funded program. Approval for implementation in collaboration with USAF in March 2018 has been effected, and the Higher Education Leadership and Management Program was formalized into three-year funded program, approved for implementation in collaboration with USAF in March 2018. Slide 9, between January and March 2018, 580 applications for 165 scholarships to study in China, Russia, and Hungary were received, screened, and assessed over 250 applicants were interviewed, and recommendations for scholarship awards were communicated with the embassies for consideration. This is a result of partnerships that we have as a department with these countries to send students from South Africa at their cost. We only support students in respect to transport and the other some minor subsistences so that they can be able to do with what they would be needing in order to adapt in these countries. And it's a program that has been going on for some time now, and each year there are new intakes. It's mainly focusing on undergraduate studies on scarce and critical skills areas, but their main focus is post-undergrad studies, that is honors, masters, as well as doctoral degrees that are taking place. We provided support for the application processes for Swedish scholarship program, 10 and Irish Carter Asmal Fellowship, 17. We're also monitoring and supporting 32 scholarship recipients in Russia, 97 in China, 72 in Hungary. And the intakes for the new group of students is currently being processed at the present moment. So the visit to scholarship recipient in Russia and to Russian authorities on the scholarship program in January 2018 by officials from the department in order to assess how the students are performing and how the living conditions are and what kind of support they would need, what are the challenges that are therein, which would require us to come to the party to alleviate those. 592 individual teacher-lecturer applications for the evaluation of qualifications were received for the fourth quarter, of which 390 certificates were issued for applicants who met the requirements, and 202 letters issued for those who did not or who needed to submit additional information which was not available at that point in time. If you proceed to slide 10, you'll see that 45 teacher education programs were received for evaluation for compliance with the policy on minimum requirements for teacher education qualifications in 2015, and were tabled. All three evaluation committee meetings, 24 programs were approved, 21 programs were not approved, and the institutions were informed accordingly as to what are the basis of not approving the programs that we considered are not adequately appropriate for being rolled out in that particular academic year. 8 TVET CET lecturer education programs were received for evaluation and were tabled at the two evaluation committee meetings in the fourth quarter, of which 3 programs were approved, 5 programs were not approved, and institutions were also informed accordingly in respect to that. The trends in teacher education graduates and enrollment for 2016 were published as well. The intersectoral meeting held with DBE and HRD Council to identify areas of synergy, difference, and duplication in the respective work undertaken to strengthen the teaching of mathematics in initial teacher education, because we're trying to ensure that we develop seamless processes between what gets fed into the higher education system emanating from the schooling processes. We are addressing this together with the DPE in order to increase the intake of math and science at school level and support students to succeed in there, because it affords them and the country an opportunity to have quite sizable numbers for teaching in scarce and critical skills areas, including artisans for that matter, because you need math and science to teach, to train people in technical jobs. Public awareness campaigns on illegal colleges was also undertaken in the first quarter of 2018, and we're doing this every year in order to ensure that people, the public, is made aware of the dangers of illegal institutions that are enrolling students, who at the end would normally discover that all what they were doing is actually meaningless. So these are more of proactive measures. We're doing it throughout the country in various cities and big cities in the country. In addition, the branch is responsible to oversee performance on university system targets. All three targets for the quarter have been achieved, of which the outcome indicator for each one of them, graduates in initial teacher education from universities, the target was 20,800. There is overachievement there of 22,123. Universities offering accredited TVET college qualifications, the target was 1, 2, which is overachievement. Additional first-time entrants, mainly black and women, to academic workforce in addition to normal replacement and plans, the target was the 100 for 2017-18 a financial year, and the achievement is 548 in respect to those targets that were set. So in the main, Chair, this is the progress in respect to Program 3, which is University Education Branch. It's more than this, but we're always mindful of the time constraints in respect to presenting the work that we are doing in the department to you. This is just but some of what we are doing and what we achieve, but it's not the totality of the work that we are doing. It's a lot more. On that note, Chair, we'll be proceeding to Program 4, if allowed. Yeah, Mrs. Magnus will take the committee through.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'll report on Program 4, fourth quarter. For this particular quarter, we had 17 targets that we needed to achieve, and we are very pleased to say that all of those 17 targets have in fact been achieved. If I then look at specifically what the targets were, I guess the first four bullets all relate to matters of policy. We had a policy for TVET college financial management, which was completed. This aims to tighten up financial management within the TVET colleges. Although there are policies at college level, this is also an attempt to give an overarching policy to tidy up and strengthen financial management overall. A policy on the South African Institute for Vocational Education and Training, although this is not yet a lone standing institute, we have developed a policy that outlines the work which SafeSet will do and how it will engage. Then a policy on administration and management of student admission. This is quite an important policy. Again, at college level there are existing policies, but they are quite varied, and this is an attempt by the National Department to put in place overarching guidelines in terms of admission, which the colleges then in turn will have to adapt their policies to align with national policies. We also reviewed the departmental policy framework on TVET qualifications that can be delivered in the TVET sector. You will recall that our white paper talks quite clearly about the gamut of qualifications in the TVET space, and this policy tries to organize the function and purpose of different qualifications in this space. If we then move on to some of the reports, again, there's a lot of reports that we've complied with in this quarter. First of all, a report on the monitoring and evaluation of TVET colleges. This covers basically five different areas, ranging from access and growth, to partnerships, governance and management, and so on. We also had a report on the implementation of a student support services plan. And I'm also pleased to say that I think the Student Support Services Plan and the Teaching and Learning Plan have now become really institutionalized in our organizations or in our colleges. The Student Support Plan covers matters of pre-entry, on-course support, and exit support. And we provide a framework then for the colleges against which they report to indicate what interventions they're undertaking and how they are supporting students. So this is a report that is submitted annually. The next report was on the conduct of TVET college examinations. We will have a whole presentation on examinations a bit later, but of course with every exam cycle, quite an emphasis on the conduct of exams, and so a report that reflects that. Also to say that in our November 2017 exam cycle, we really went through some extraordinary measures to again focus on invigilator training and make sure that we actually support the conduct of exams. Then the report on teaching and learning support plans. Again, we have provided colleges there with a framework. It talks to seven pillars, which cover all areas of teaching and learning. And really the intention there is for colleges to start to identify those areas within which they are weak, and to put remedial plans in place. And it covers really everything from the selection of what programs they are delivering up to lecturer capacity building so that we enhance the overall teaching and learning experience within colleges. We, of course, then monitor whether colleges are actually executing on those plans and how they are faring in terms of lifting the standards of teaching and learning. If we on to the next page, we have a report on sample TVET colleges for the previous academic year, evaluated for compliance and recommended governance standards. Just to say that I think governance standards still needs to be strengthened in the college sector, and a lot of work will still be undertaken this year to make sure that we strengthen that. The next report on the performance of students in colleges for the previous academic year. That report was submitted, and we will talk in the impact indicators on some of how our students have actually performed. All right, a next report on the implementation strategy for partnerships. This report was submitted. In fact, it was quite a difficult report to do because partnerships are so varied. And from a situation where a single learner is given a workplace opportunity to significant partnerships, and I think in the year to come we will also work at a categorization of partnerships in more detail. Right, then the report on the certification backlog. That is something that we look at every quarter, and that is also the report that you will get today from the exams report. A plan for TVET college lecturer development is something that we've undertaken. In fact, the start of last year, a lot of work has been done on the matter of lecturer development. I'll talk to it a little bit later. Although we needed to present a plan, what we've actually done is to really develop a comprehensive strategy as to how we view lecturer development, and I can say a few more words about that a bit later on. We've also looked at a rollout plan for the construction of 9 TVET college campuses, which all the procurement processes has now been done, and contracts issued for the build of those campuses. The next indicators all relate to infrastructure. We've developed the infrastructure funding model, a maintenance plan, and then a national asset management system. So we are quite conscious that a lot of work needs to happen in the TVET space around maintenance. And you will also know that from the announcements that there is additional funding towards maintenance. So we feel quite pleased that the standards have been set and colleges now can start to implement their maintenance plans based on preset requirements that has been set by government. Okay, so those are the 17 indicators that we've achieved against. I will mention a few other achievements that I believe is important. If we then go to the next slide, we will see that we've developed and implemented a policy on the audits and verification of enrollment data. This has been a matter raised by the Auditor General to the branch over the last year. And we've actually put significant effort into ensuring that that we do audit enrollment verification, and we've set out a policy for that. And then the next bullet point is also to say that we've conducted actual on-the-ground verifications, and we feel quite confident that we would have met Auditor General requirements, but of course we'll see as the audit unfolds. Right, then the formulation of a policy on performance reporting. This is really just to tighten up exactly when which reports are due, and so also in a way to really organize our system, and that colleges have a sense of predictability as to what, when data needs to be provided. So that policy. Then this, I guess, is normal course of our business, but just to say that we have done the strategic and annual planning of all our 50 colleges. It's an annual event, and we continue to do that, and it has been done this year, and Minister approved all of those plans. Also, we have continued to maintain the 50 college councils, and where vacancies have occurred, those have been filled, and our colleges remain intact as far as governance structures are concerned. All right, still moving on, other significant achievements. We have done a comprehensive review of our TVET MIS system, and really that includes the whole value chain. So from the IT system right down to at college level, the quality of data inputted at the college level, and how all of that happens. After this review, we have developed an action plan where we believe certain items still need to be strengthened, and our work for this year will then be to make sure that we implement that action plan. Also to say that an internal audit was done on our TVET MIS system last year, and those internal audit results are also factoring into that action plan. The coordination of student registration and enrollment management conduct by the regional offices. Again, this is a normal course of our business. We are starting really to strengthen our regional offices and making sure that that becomes an extension of the capacity of the department, and that the regional structures play their part in monitoring and oversight. Another important development is the implementation of our pre-vocational learning program. This is a program that aims to focus on math and language of people, students entering into the TVET system. We also hope that, we've just started the implementation. We're about 5 months underway. But we are really hoping that with the introduction of this pre-vocational learning program, that we will also strengthen the academic outcomes and the certification rates of young people in the TVET sector. I spoke earlier about the strategy for lecturer development that we have worked on. Included in this, very important for us, is a continuous professional development strategy. We have really been in serious discussions with SAIS, and later this year we hope to start launching the CPD processes and frameworks for TVET college lecturers. I think this is something that has lagged for a bit, and we feel quite excited that we are making headway in this regard. And then finally, something else that has kept us quite busy in the department is the introduction of the new exam system that we are developing. And again, in the exams report, I can talk a bit more about that. All right, if we then get to our impact indicators, our headcount enrollment is slightly slight underachievement of 703,000 compared to the 710 that we anticipated. If we look at certification rates for NCV level 4, it is a 41.7% compared to the target of 30. The N3 at 65.8% versus the 55 target. NATED level 6, 66.1% versus the 40% target. We believe that we are issuing certificates within the 3-month period. Of course, again, we can talk about when we get to exams, but that is provided that there are no irregularities or moderation difficulties within that. But from the time that results are released up until the time of certification, we believe that we are meeting that 3 months. Public TVET College exam centres evaluated. All of those have been evaluated by the department. And then qualifying TVET students obtaining financial assistance, that is 255. And let me also just highlight that in our new targets, we are reporting on the 2016 academic year. So all of these certification targets, the funded students, those all relate now to the 2016 academic year. Then funded NCV learners obtaining qualifications within the stipulated time frame. We have done some calculations. This was for the period 2012 to 2014, and we are providing a baseline now of 33.47% as a throughput rate. And then finally, institutions evaluated for best practice and policies guidelines. A target achieved of 56%. And I think that brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Sorry, DG. Can I just check? Earlier on, you said there were other things that you were going to come back to.
It was about the lecturer development. The target that we achieved was around the lecturer plan that we submitted, and then I did later on mention that apart from the plan, we've also created a comprehensive strategy that looked at all areas of lecturer development, including the CPD, the Continuous Professional Development of Lecturers. Okay. Thank you.
DG, thank you. Skills?
Thanks, DG. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues, my alpha slide is slide number 17. Performance on targets, there were 3 targets for the quarter under review, of which we have achieved all those targets. 1, National Skills Development Plan. 2, Report on the Implementation of Skills Development Strategy, that's NSDS 3. Report on the Implementation of Security Infrastructure Development Plan at Indlela. The next slide is dealing with the system targets. You could see as well there that we're doing quite very well with regard to all our targets. The first one is work-based learning opportunities. We targeted 130,000. At this point in time, we are at 177,594. New artisans qualified per annum. Our target was 21,110, and currently we are standing at 23,128. New artisan learners registered nationally per annum. Our target was 27,750. At present, we are at 33,724. 4, national artisan learners trade test pass rate.
Our target was 58%. That's the only target with regard to system targets that we are not likely to meet. We're at 54%. National artisan learners employed or self-employed, our target was 60%. At present, we're still standing at 60%. Proportion of sitters meeting standards of good governance, our target was 60. At this point in time, we're standing at 100. The next one, reasons for underperformance is dealing with the trade test pass rate. The pass rate is not directly influenced by the department. Indlela deals with mostly walk-in applicants that have not gone through a formal artisanal program. The department, through the National Artisan Moderation Body, will increase monitoring of artisan training centers to ensure that the training provided also is up to standard. That was my Omega slide. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Slide number 20.
Is Mr. Mvalo finished already? Wow. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honourable members and colleagues. For the quarter under review, the branch had three targets, and all three of them were achieved. It's the annual reporting policy for CET colleges, and ME system performance report, and teaching and learning improvement plan implementation report. And at the level of system targets, where we're looking at the 2016 performance against the target of 310,000 headcount enrollment, 273,431 was achieved against the certification and formal program of 38, which was the target, 35.9 was achieved. Now, when we look at slide 22 and probably slide 23, those reasons for underperformance basically represent things that both the department and the community colleges must fix. And therefore, at the level of the community college, you have to have a plan on how to deal with the absence of advocacy for the programs offered, and we have to deal with the stigma in the provinces who are dealing with our certification, the stigma associated with perpetually outstanding certificate. Because at a particular point, the would-be students in the system ask the question, why do we keep coming if we're not getting our certificates? There have been instances also which we are fixing with the provinces where there's been delays in the issuing of results. The Department of Higher Education and Training will issue an instruction to the provincial department who are administering the exams to issue results, but different provinces will react or respond differently. One case in point in 2017 was the Eastern Cape, at which point the results were delayed deep into March. Limited program diversification and responsiveness, which should be consistent with the project we have in mind as community education and training institutions, colleges. The progress here is extremely slow, and then it does require an intervention from the department, but it also requires the fact that now we have deputy principals who must have the initiative first and creativity and diagnostic research into communities as to what are the issues they be responding to in terms of program offerings in the community learning centers. the limited infrastructure. There are also instances where there are safety concerns given the times at which programs are offered in these institutions. I'm happy that the colleagues in the universities branch and are referring to the approval of lecturer qualifications at the level of universities, because we have to deal with lecturer qualification in this sector by at least directing the lecturers who are practicing here to actually just go get qualified and then come back and look for a job. Because if you are not qualified to teach a subject, you are rendering a shabby type of a service. And also, given the fact that the current regime in terms of conditions of service is pretty unstable, where you have a good lecturer and there's a space in the DBE, and then they leave, and leave the CET sector without lecturers, and as a result, we find then we have to get somebody who fills in, and colleges just take whoever is in the system to deal with the students. We have also experienced delays, in particular in some TVET colleges which are procuring LTSM for the centres. There are some colleges which are actually not able to carry out this function, given their own loads. And then I've had two CET colleges asking us not to direct funding to some TVET colleges because those TVET colleges are not coping with this function of procuring the materials for the centers in their district or in their localities. We have an issue of cultural and religious practices, which I talked about before. And when that comes, the students just leave. And then when they come back to join the program, and the year is almost gone. And then seasonal employment opportunities, as well as inadequate specialist curriculum support to lecturers, does expect the deviation in terms of certification. But a great many of these things, Chair, are not things which are unfixable. We just have to have a plan as to what do we prioritize first, and then approach them in a linear fashion and give ourselves time frames as to when we will be able to fix which one of these things. With regard to reflections on strategic and policy implication, based on the performance during the quarter under review, the branch has to focus on quality and efficiency in the system. We actually have to relook at the configuration of the system, where you have, in terms of the Gazette, we have KZN College, for instance, handling 1,097 centers, and see the practicability of that and how efficient that system is. We have given ourselves, if things work well, a target of 1st April 2019 to build the systems in CET colleges such that then we are able to transfer their money to them instead of diverting it to TVET colleges. We are also dealing with, in the same vein, we are setting up information management system for accuracy for the sake of data quality and data integrity. It is also important that if we want to diversify the system from being a purely academic system, we have to lead at the level of the department the forging of partnership and provide leadership for colleges as to what they should do at the micro level, notwithstanding the fact that the department can't enter into agreements on behalf of colleges because colleges are juristic persons themselves. The department is also working towards attaining a lasting solution for ensuring labor peace in the system. There is a lot of instability at the moment because of the conditions of service, but we are working at it. Lastly, worth mentioning is We went through strengthening of governance and management, where 84 members of councils and principals participated. We also had to go deeper into actually interacting with lecturers, because we have reason to believe that if we do not engage with the people who are supposed to turn around the system, and we are talking to ourselves, rather each year we engage with a group of lecturers and point to them the strategic direction into which the system should go, and also the fact that the system can't be based on dealing with illiteracy. Illiteracy is supposed to be a short-term thing, and it must be eliminated. Once you are done, what is that this system going to do if there is no innovation as part of the system? And Chair and Honourable Members, that concludes my presentation.
Program 2. Dr. Narfe.
Thank you very much, Chair and the DG. Good morning to you, Chairperson, and to all members of the committee. My slides start from page 13, slide number 26, and it's Program 2, Planning, Policy and Strategy. That's the branch for which I am responsible. So in the last quarter, 2017-18, we had 12 targets. And in our branch, all 12 targets were achieved, and these are listed below. The NQF Amendment Bill had been submitted to Parliament for processing, as had been targeted. We produced the list of occupations in high demand. We finalized the policy framework on disability. We produced two reports to inform our planning and policy, namely one on investment trends in post-school education and training and on statistics on post-school education and training. We initiated and developed a business plan to examine the possible institutionalization of career development services across government, but inside the DHET. Slide 27, we produced oversight reports on the following areas: social inclusion in PSET, open learning in post-school education training, career development services, and international relations. We also developed a communication strategy for student support services in relation to career development issues and career guidance. And we finalized the design of the management information system for public community colleges in terms of the specifications that are required for community colleges. And Dr. Mashlobo has now indicated that based on these specifications, the community colleges themselves will now develop their systems so that we can be ready to step up our information system for community colleges. So, colleagues, if we have to reflect on what we've been doing and how helpful it has been and whether it has made any changes or any impact on anybody, we'll just go through a few of these, Chairperson, if you could have my indulgence, if I can beg your indulgence, rather. So the list of occupations in high demand is relatively new. We started with them about 2 years ago. And we're catching up in terms of how we utilize this list. And we utilize this list for what we call skills planning. And in detail, what it means is that we provide this list to the career development services, which they use when we're informing young students about career subject choices they have to make from grade 10, about qualification and program choices they have to make when they enter TVET colleges and universities. And so we mark these on the career portal, we communicate these to the young students, and there are about over 350 occupations in high demand, out of a total of approximately 1,500 in the country. At the last portfolio committee meeting, we had a question from the Honourable Bizzoli about why are we having such a big list of occupations, Chairperson, if you may recall, and what is the value of such a large list of occupations? And I think our response then was, and it remains the same, is that we have to give a big choice to students. We can't give them 10 or 100, okay? Also, when we provide this information to universities, they need to have a wide choice about the programs they offer, and they need to make sure that the programs are directed to these occupations, but the choice cannot be too narrow. And similarly for TVET colleges. These lists also helps us to allocate resources like bursaries. When people make choices about where they must allocate bursaries, what kinds of students? Must we give it to mechanical engineering students or electrical engineering students? Or must we give it to plumbers or to electricians? So that kind of decisions, they can use this list to make that. And enrollment planning and so on. Then the strategic policy framework on disability, it's to guide university and colleges, to provide an enabling environment. Then the NQF amendment bill, with which you are familiar, it will be coming to Parliament this year, and it deals with the verification of qualifications and establishment of registers for fraudulent qualifications and so on. The other significant arrangement achievements during the last quarter that we have made is the development of open learning materials. This is a pilot, and it's like innovative work that we are trying, and we've developed a qualifications and materials for the NASCAR qualification, which is the National Adult Senior Certificate qualification diploma for TVET college lecturers and for electricians. So it's about making materials and resources available for open learning for anybody in the country or in the world actually to access it. But we've developed the materials, we are still developing the platform to put the materials on. We undertook the evaluation of the NQF in partnership with DPME last year. You will hear more about that in the future. And we've implemented the policy for integrated career development across the system. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. Honourable members, I will be presenting Program 1, which is administration. For the quarter, which is the last quarter of 2017-18, we had 7 targets. 4 of those 7 targets were achieved, and these are the the filling of vacancies. We achieved a target of 5.21. The target is 10%, and this is taken from outcome 12 of the program of action. So we achieved the total establishment of the department is 29,000. And 26 posts, and only 5.21% of those posts have not been filled. We dealt with audit issues through the audit action plans that the various branches had put in place. We achieved an unqualified audit opinion for 2016-17 financial year. And lastly, the ICT procurement plan was developed and approved and is currently being implemented from 1 April 2018. Now, the reasons for the 3 targets that we couldn't achieve, Chairperson, the first one is an average of 180 days from recruitment requisition to the recommendation to appoint. We only reached 188 days to process appointments, but this is a substantial improvement from the previous financial year at this period. We moved from 222 days to 188 days. and we're short of 8 days to achieve the target. The reason is the high volumes of applications and the capacity constraints within the department to deal with appointment processes, especially for colleges. But Chairperson, we have mitigation plans, and these have actually contributed to this improvement of 188 days. One of them is the improvement plan that we developed. It was also part of our APP targets during the year. We have an integrated annual recruitment plan that has been also developed. We are developing and implementing an e-recruitment system. The terms of reference have been developed and submitted for approval, and we will soon be following procurement processes in that regard. We also rely, when you know we receive these high volumes, we do appoint service providers to assist in processing applications. And lastly, we also rely on the use of overtime, although it is highly restricted, Chairperson. The next one that we couldn't achieve is the target of 100% to resolve disciplinary cases within 90 days. Our achievement here, Chair, was 97% of cases got resolved within 90 days, and we've improved from 2016-17 during this period from 22%. Again, the reason for us to, you know, achieve or to improve is because we had to come up with an improvement plan, you know, for labor relations as a whole, increasing capacity, especially at regional office level. And we've been training quite extensively labor relations officers on chairing and initiating cases. The last target we couldn't achieve is the one that deals with 100% of invoices, you know, to be paid within a period of 30 days. It is also part of the targets in the program of action, outcome 12. The reason for not achieving this target is the delays in the processing of invoices that are rejected due to wrong banking details. And Chairperson, let me also explain that the service providers that the department is using are the ones that are registered in the central database in National Treasury. So you'll find that their banking details are, in some cases, incorrect, and the department has to send back and communicate with those service providers to correct their banking details. And in some instances, they change their account numbers and don't inform the department that the account numbers have been changed. We are currently implementing, Chairperson, a system as part of the automation of our business processes. We are implementing an invoice tracking system, and I'm sure by the end of the next quarter, we will be ready to implement that system to mitigate this challenge. I thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, with regard to the financial information, perhaps just indication that by the end of December, when we reported the third quarter information, the department's total expenditure at that stage was 85.3%. And all programs were above 70%, and the university program specifically above 92%. Now, if you take all our voted funds, including the skills levy, at the end of the fourth quarter, the department's overall spending amounted to 68.6 billion rand. There is therefore an underspending of 12.019 million rand. The reasons for the underspending mainly as follows. Firstly, on personnel expenditure, where we had vacancies at year end, in total 5.734 million rand. On personnel expenditure, it should also be noted that as previously reported to the committee, that the department was busy to verify information on the government employees pension fund
regarding employees of TVET colleges that we inherited during the function shift process. And at this stage, the department was able to pay the GEPF an amount of 110.259 million rand, which is included in the total spending for personnel expenditure. There is a very small unverified number of employees that are still being processed, and as soon as that result is available, the department will also pay that portion to the GEPF. On operational activities, the unspent amount was 5.632 million rand, and of that 2.472 million was mainly for equipment within the department, most of those being ordered, not yet received, and they will be paid in this financial year. With regard to transfer payments, there is a total amount of 644,000 that remained unspent by 31 March. Within the rules of the PFMA as well as the Treasury regulations, any saving on transfer payments cannot be utilized for any other purpose. These savings or underspending resulted from, first of all, the Commonwealth of Learning, where we paid the membership fee on behalf of government. There was a positive exchange rate difference that resulted in a saving of 183,000 rand. We also had a small 216,000 rand unclaimed ad hoc grant within the university sector, mainly for interest and redemption of old government loans for infrastructure. There was also a very small 240,000 rand unallocated levy during the linking of codes within the skills levy transferred to the department, which could therefore not be transferred to ACETA or the NSF. Chair, I can report that by the end of March, the department and none of its programs overspent, and the total unspent amount of 12.09 million will be surrendered to National Treasury as required by the PFMA. On the next slide, we can just have a very brief look at the status of expenditure per program. And one can see there that the amount of 12 million, the underspending, is under Program 1 Administration, 3.3 million. Planning, Policy and Strategy, 1.3, a small amount under University Education, 969,000. TVET, small, 660,000. Skills Development, 833,000. CET, almost 4.7 million. And the 240,000 under the direct charges. If we look at our expenditure per economic classification, the information that I provided in the first slide, one can see there that the breakdown for compensation of employees' personnel expenditure, goods and services mainly on our operations, transfers and capital. Chair, that brings us to the last slide, which is the transfer payments. We included that for information as well. I did explain the 216,000 under universities, the Commonwealth of Learning and the Skills Levy. One can there see also that all the other transfers as required by the department were made in full. Small savings under claims against the state, as well as the 1,000 left over under leave gratuities. Those are mainly due to rounding of figures. Chair, that brings me to the conclusion of the financial information and the full presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG, and the entire team. Can I start with Honourable Ntunu? And then I'll come down.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentations. And I would like to commend
the department for the overall performance. It's highly commendable. For the university sector, Mr. Mabizela, I'd like to know which institutions got their TVET lecturer qualifications not approved and what were areas of weaknesses identified for the programs. And is QCTO involved in program assessment and accreditation? The second one, on the target for the universities offering accredited TVET college qualification, the five-year target is 10, and you have set one per year, although you have achieved two. I'd like to know whether the five-year target of 10, is it going to be met, really, if we set Begagobo 1, so basically in Iglo 10. But I want to emphasize that one is very important because that is the biggest outcry in our TVET colleges, that most of the lecturers are unqualified or underqualified. So it is important that we must establish institutions which will upskill them so that we can get the required skills. On skills development, the 2017-18 skills levy was adjusted down during the 2017 MTBPS from 16.6 billion to 15.8 billion, but the expenditure on skills levy is 16.293 billion. My question is, where did the additional funding come from, Mr. Mvalo? On CETs, just to say that the department has to expedite building financial management systems of CETs so that they can be able to procure on their own and not rely on TVET colleges that have got their own challenges. So that would be my take, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. On the new money that's come in for students, how many disruptions have there been? You mentioned that you felt that it had all gone very smoothly, but from what I understand, at one point there was a newspaper report that 16 TVET colleges were closed due to disruptions, that Nelson Mandela University was closed due to disruptions, and that Maluti TVET College has actually been burnt down due to disruptions that happened this week, I think. So it does seem to me that the bringing in of the new money has not been as smooth as you seem to be suggesting. Can you give us a statistic of actually how many disruptions there have been about the bringing in of the new money and give us some idea of what you project the situation to be over the next few months? Then the second question is about the students that are going to Russia, China, and Hungary. Is there no English-speaking option for our students? These are students for whom English is already a second language, and now they're having to learn in Russian, Chinese, or Hungarian, and we might find that... But the second point I want to make is, if you look up the World University Rankings, you find that these countries don't have universities that are better than our best universities. In fact, Hungary's best university is number 600 in the rankings, whereas we have universities right up near, much nearer the top of the rankings. So it does puzzle me as to why we are sending students there. And same with Russia. Their universities are no better than ours. In fact, their top university is below our top universities. And China does have some good universities, but only four, and we want to know whether our students are going to those four top ones or whether they're going to some of the weaker ones that are really languishing down at the bottom of the rankings. But I also want to know why no effort is being made to send students to English-speaking universities. Australia, the US, Malaysia, I don't know where, but I think there are India, for example. There are many other examples of universities where our students would get better quality education in a language that is at least a lingua franca in this country and that most will be familiar with. I always wonder about the targets, which I know is our own fault because we oversee the targets. But if you could just comment on the fact that not a single target in higher education seems to be to do with research, postgraduates, or the supervision of students at the postgraduate level. Do you consider that all of this has been outsourced to the Department of Science and Technology? And if you do consider that, is that not a bad thing? Department of Science and Technology is being cut every year. It cannot cope with the number of postgrads. Is this something that you've thought about and would like to maybe shift over back into the department and put more emphasis on it? Fourth question, the number of teacher education programs not approved is almost higher than the number that were approved. Can you just comment on that? Why? And those that were approved, was the report that the Department of Basic Education made on the very poor quality of teacher education taken into account in approving teacher education courses? Because the quality, according to the Department of Basic Education report, leaves a lot to be desired, and they found that our teachers were not being taught what they needed to know. Then my last question is, I take your point about the longer scarce skills list and the purpose for which you've developed it, which is for students to understand where it is that they might get a job. That's fine. However, surely we need a scarce skills list for other purposes, which is strategic planning purposes by yourselves, which I think has to be shorter and more targeted. It has to be able to say, these are the broad areas in which the most desperate scarce skills are, and those are the areas in which we are going to plan. You can't possibly have a strategic plan with 594 skills in mind. So a shorter, more targeted strategic plan, I suppose, for a different purpose is really what I had in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. May I go? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the Department for the presentation. On listening to the presentation, I was just again struck by the unintended consequences of some well-meant policies. For example, when we ask of a department to come and report and to set quarterly targets, I think you start thinking about what can I achieve within the next quarter so that I can, you know, report favorably on that. And I'm concerned that there are some long-term policy issues, etc., that I am missing. And I do hope that somewhere in the plans for the department, we will not take our eyes off that ball and only focus on the short term. See, if I think of this department, I think that there are basically three phases or three major legs on which I would measure this department. And the first one is your qualification system. The next one is then your quality teaching, learning, research. And the last one is your assessment system with your certificates, etc. And I'm concerned, Chair, that in reporting to this portfolio committee, the whole qualification issue has been addressed, almost not have been addressed. We can say, yeah, there were these qualifications for teacher, lecturer training, etc. But I want to put it to you, Chair, we have a major problem with our qualifications and our qualification system in this country. This department, and specifically the skills section, is still stuck in the outcomes-based paradigm that basic education has long ago decided it's not appropriate, it's too intricate, it's not a practical one for South Africa, but we are still stuck in that. The second one is the quality of teaching and learning, and we all complain and say we're not attracting the best lecturers, etc. But there are far more than just the qualifications. And why don't we have lecturers with the right skills and qualifications? And I'm afraid I didn't hear a word of how we are addressing that. If we think that to register a program with the university for college lecturers, and that will now be the dawn of a wonderful era in college education or teaching, I think we're wrong. My question is, why do we not attract the right people? And we've heard some of the reasons. Who would like to go and work for an employer which takes 120 days, you know, from when a position becomes vacant to when that position gets filled? Who wants to wait for 7 months to hear about your promotion, etc.? And I'm afraid we haven't heard about the much flaunted whole issue of the e-recruitment system. Where are we with the e-recruitment system? Have you been using it already, etc.? And then, Chairperson, there's the assessment system. We learn of exam leaks. We learn of outstanding certificates. We learn of, and not only with the NATET and so on, which we're going to listen to later today, there are some serious delays with some of our ETQAs. I'm sitting here with an email of a domestic worker that wanted to do an ETDP practitioner qualification so that she can, you know, become a teacher. She's finished the program at the beginning of last year. The assessment was to be in January of this year. Now they've discovered that one of her portfolios, and this comes to back to the outcomes-based education paradigm that this department is still stuck in, now they find that in her portfolio of evidence there's one assessment that's not been filed, that's been handed back to her with a remark passed, and now she's still waiting for a certificate. Can we really be in this system still? And what we get as feedback from the department are on a lot of other steps. Many of them, I would say, are important targets, important policies to develop, etc., etc. But it doesn't really address the learning experience, the on-the-ground experience of ordinary South Africans who want to upskill themselves and who want to really eventually have a certificate plus the skill in hand. We're not addressing the whole issue of the compensation for lecturers, and particularly lecturers in some of the very scarce skills that we want to develop in this country. So what happens is that only private colleges offer some of those qualifications, high-level IT qualifications, etc. During a previous visit, we were told that we were struggling with a staff establishment issue that's been outstanding for more than a decade. The first mergers of colleges took place, I think, in the year 2000. How do we... Now we're complaining, now we're developing programs to upskill lecturers, but how do you want to attract somebody from the private sector to come and teach in a public institution if this is the measure of seriousness with which we introduce, that we approach this with? Chair, just two last things. The first one is, we've heard that the community education and training centers, it seems to me from the figures as if the trend whereby the figures decreased tremendously have been reversed. Is that true? Because the figure I got was that there were in the previous year 450,000 people registered for exams at those, registered at our CETs, and that number halved to 225,000, I'm rounding off with a few hundred, learners at our CET college. A drop of 50% in 1 year, Chair. Has that been stemmed? Has that been reversed? And then lastly, can we just get in future, Chair, a comparison of targets over years? I know some of them change completely from year to year, but there are some targets, such as, for example, the periods that we struggle with to bring down for, let's say, payment of invoices, periods for the filling of funded posts, etc. where we can look at long-term trends and really see the progress, because I do have a feeling that in some cases targets are being resurrected and in some cases they are being hidden under the table. Thank you.
Don't do what Honourable Van der Vester is indeed, Honourable Gillian.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just first want to say I want to concur that we've had very good performance assessment. Obviously, it is helpful when you can compare it to previous years, etc. But, Chair, I would like to just say in general, I want to commend the DG and his team, but I see one disconcerting trend, and that is silo operations within the different programs. And just to mention one issue is student support services. Is that not, you know, is that not a cross-program issue that could be addressed and reported on sort of across the system? So I just want to mention that as a point of departure. Secondly, I think the underspend of the department is very good. It seems that they were able, because if you look at the percentage underspent, I think it's probably one of the records in the entire government sector. It's 0.00017. That is quite a good achievement. So just by way of commending. And then I just have a few issues with specific programs, Chairperson. Firstly, I don't quite understand, and I like to work backwards. I like to go to Program 1. I see the reason for the 4 out of 7 in Program 1. My concern, Chair, is on the reason for the applications taking so long. I have a problem that we have not seen the implementation of the electronic system yet. Clearly, when there is a sort of a paper issue, then you need to call in external service providers, but surely we can speed up that program. Secondly, as far as this is concerned, I think the department has also listed this as an excuse last year, and that is the unavailability of trained chairpersons of DCs. And therefore, it's a matter that it appears to be, what is the intervention that can be? And then invoice tracking system, Chair, I find it difficult. Once a service provider is presenting a quote and there's a tender process that follows, certainly there should be information about banking details, etc. What the difficulty is there. Secondly, one can understand that the national system can go outdated because people change their banking details, but just to be updated, I think there's a different system that could be followed. Chair, then on Program 2, I have noted there's a performance against targets that all 12 targets were met, but if I count the targets, I think maybe the way that it is presented, and I see the presenter is not here now, maybe I should just hold back. But
ask. Didn't ask permission to leave. Ask the question. The DG is here also.
Good. Because what is, you know, I just want to have a proper understanding. Maybe it's just the layout that we miss. And then on the list of occupations in high demand, I'm really very supportive of that, Chairperson. I think it is a significant intervention. Just to ask, on this score, we've had the first report by the, the Labour Force Project. That's right, Market Intelligence, whatever. Is that a continuous project? Will it proceed further? Because the mismatch, the skills mismatch, is a critical issue. We cannot afford to invest in career development in the wrong areas. And, you know, with the changes happening so rapidly in the world, we must be right there. So just to ask, and is there any interaction with Department of Basic Education on this as well? Because some of the choices come from primary school, Chair. If we fail there, and that brings me to the other issue, and that is, in general, who is responsible for ensuring that teacher training qualifications are in fact holding sort of up with modern trends and development? Is it the Department of Higher Education, or is it the Department of Basic Education function? Where does the responsibility lie? I need clarity on that, Chairperson, because we cannot have the list of occupations in high demand and the demands that you have specific skills up to grade 7, and then thereafter you're basically a lost cause. If you don't have that, then you fall out of the system. So, concern about that. Chair, that brings me also to the issue of recognition of prior learning. There was a policy that was published. What is the current position as far as that is concerned? That is still a problem. Will it be enacted? Is that part of the NQF Act, you know, movements between different institutions of learning and recognition of prior learning? How do we deal with that? Then I would like to ask on program, you know, Chair, if we get a presentation on program 6, I always feel that I actually want to almost run away. And it's no reflection on the department. It's just this huge responsibility that was shifted from provincial departments to the National Department of Higher Education. We've not achieved on headcount enrollment in colleges, and we've not achieved on certification and CET formal qualifications. And it's that one is not so very bad, and but I am concerned, Chair, about the limited program diversity. At this stage, we're a matric catch-up program. That's what is being run. There's really nothing else. And I'm concerned about when will the real skills development component, because many of the students that need community education have long passed actually that need. Is there not a sort of a vocational option that they have within that? So I'm concerned, Chair, what is the intervention that is made, and also what are you doing if the provincial education departments are not moving forward with the examination results? What interventions are made by the department? Just in passing, Program 5, Mr. Mvalo moved very swiftly through this program before we could quickly ask him a question, but he thought we would not notice it. But why was underperformance on trade test pass rate, why was that a target if the department cannot influence the results or the pass rate? Why was it then set as a target? Can you please explain? Also, Chair, the underachievement, it's not so significant, but on the last one, proportion of CETAs meeting standards of good governance. I want to pose the question, if the target was 60% and you've achieved 100%, do you believe that the standards are appropriate? Are we measuring high standard of meeting corporate governance? Or is it just, you know, very basic? Chair, now, just on program four, I'm concerned about the TVET College infrastructure. Will the Department of Higher Education manage the maintenance projects? And will it still be in charge of the rollout of new TVET colleges? The reason being, one of our major shortcomings as a country and as in the public service is inadequate project management skills. Will there be a sort of a overview over those? Otherwise, Chair, really it would be very serious if we missed that one. And then on the TVET miss, it's good. Just wanted to know, what is the target of implementation? And then, Chair, we have performed very badly in Program 4, I believe, as far as the percentage of institutions evaluated. The target was 100%, but it was only achieved with 58%. What is the reason? If we cannot assess them on best practice, how do we push for improvement on that? Chair, I think I'm through.
Honourable Mavunda.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. I think most of the questions have been asked by my colleagues. But first and foremost, Chair, let me appreciate the presentations that we have just received. It's not everything bad, though it's not everything good, but at least it's fair to say this presentation is at least have got a way to go. Chairperson, let me first just make a general comment. We can sometimes, if for instance, if the political will is not there for the department to achieve, we'll always pull the leg back. I'm saying this because we expect the department to attract the best lecturers or teachers from outside. But the comment that we make outside as politicians sometimes raise some eyebrows to say, but this is the person who is supposed to encourage, so that there must be a willing by people who have got better skills. And I think our role is to support and monitor whatever the departments are doing. That is just my comment. But, Chairperson, my question might have been asked by other colleagues. Just to say, I'm being intimidated.
You are protected from Honourable Bazzoli.
Thanks for your protection.
I saw her too, Karen. No, but don't disrupt him. Let him.
Yeah.
They can clarify themselves. Let's not intimidate each other.
Yeah.
Continue, Honourable Mavunda. You are fully protected by the chair.
No, thanks. Chairperson, my question goes to the targets which were not achieved. What are your action plans? Because you only give reasons why they are not achieved, but there is no action plan to say in the next few days, or like you always say, as soon as possible. And that as soon as possible, I don't think it's a managerial language.
because you will have to put up the dates to say by this time, in a particular period, this will be done. So that is another question. On slide 23, a bulletin that talks about the cultural practices, and the presenter said this thing, it's not because it can be changed. There is a need for a plan. Now my question is, if you think there is a need for plan to be prioritized, where is that plan? When do we see the plan that prioritizes all those changes, if you believe that there could be some changes? Maybe the last one, Chairperson, is the campaign about maybe the awareness, public awareness campaign about the illegal colleges. Does the department have the data for those illegal colleges, or is that of prevention is better than cure campaign? You just campaign for the sake of alerting communities that in case you come across these such colleges, this is what you must do. Because I think it will serve the purpose, Chairperson, that if we do have those colleges in our database, so that we be specific to say this college and this college and this college do not meet the requirements for being colleges to do this and that skills. So I think those are some of the things which I wanted to highlight. Lastly, I think this is last number two. Lastly, Chairperson, it's a question of infrastructure. Do we have the infrastructure, or are you referring to the buildings, or what is that? If it's a, if for instance, it's a TVET college workshop where mechanics and all those artisans are practiced, are these workshops equipped? Because sometimes you find a TVET that it's offering motor mechanics, only to find that there is an old Bedford in the workshop alone as it is, without any material or equipment. The old batteries, the old Bedford, that only is for orientation to say this is a car, this is a buggy, this is what. So my interest is that I want to know whether this infrastructure talks about a holistic infrastructure, or is it part of the infrastructure. Chairperson, thanks. Thank you, Chairperson.
Kana, anything? No? DG, can you clarify the... Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm not quite sure on the bill that you're talking about. I've been trying to find out also where in our system is the bill. Can you maybe just clarify to us, is it still on its way? Has it been sent to Parliament? Is it still with a speaker? Is it wherever? We certainly are not aware of a bull being here. And then the second one that you can if you can clarify, I don't understand, on the PSET, the target that has not been reached there, if you look at the four quarters, you will see more or less, you know, different things that you are saying on why the target has not been met. Maybe if you can just take us into confidence to say, where is this? Because we know it's been at Nedlac at some point. Now, where is the entire process now as we speak? I did not understand what you said earlier on. If you can clarify from the finance also, if we look at the your figures that you give us and we compare that with what Treasury gives, they're not the same. So you said that you did not overspend, but the TIVET branch did. Can you clarify that one to us? And then if we look at your deviations and your, what is the other thing? Can you clarify also your, your deviations, if you can clarify that. You know, you put the column of variance and then there's deviations. I'm not sure if they are all together, but the point that I want to make is what you say and what Treasury says are not the same. On the TIVET branch, the 2016 thing worries me quite a lot on what you are saying. I know that the representative from the Auditor General's office is here, and you might want to comment on this one. We have been pointed out all the time that we seem to be 2 years behind all the time on the TIVET information and data that you send. So you made the point again, what is the problem that we are still sitting with 2016 as opposed to 2017? Or if you can clarify that. I agree. Look, let's not have that answer on the invoices, really. Sometimes it's very poor people that engage with the department to do business. I am pretty sure that whoever receives the invoices must right at the beginning see what is in there and then correct it at that point. It can't be a reason why a target has not been been met. DG, can't we, I understand all the other programs of where students have been sent, our BRICS program, hence why it's all the countries that you stated here. What benefit is there from Hungary? The others, I agree, I understand, and really there's a choice that people can make. We don't have to follow our colonial masters to go just English. We can learn different languages. But what about, why are we stuck to Hungary? I don't understand. That one. If DG, two things. Lastly, can you take the opportunity to tell us why are we having continuous instability at Limpopo University? You know, I watched them this morning. I just couldn't understand the reasons that they were giving and what they were saying. It had nothing to do with, learning and teaching things. They were all saying very many different things. And if I'm correct in what I'm going to say, I think we must extend. We heard very bad news last night, if I'm correct, about one of the professors that was killed. Kamwendo, and I think we must extend our condolences from the committee to such a tragic incident that has happened, that he has been are killed. This is certainly not good news to have heard that. But over to you, DJ, and the team.
No, thank you very much. Perhaps let us start with this question of the programs with the international countries. What is happening here, Chair, is that we are working with the all countries globally in respect to seeking opportunities for South African students as well as lecturers, either to partner or to go there and study, or they get assistance to study here in the country. But in respect to the countries that have been mentioned, these are scholarships that are funded by these countries, which then we undertake due processes that are quite rigorous in recruitment and selection of students who would be taking up these opportunities. Secondly, we also undertake rigorous assessment and evaluation of the programs in which they would be enrolled in these respective countries, in their respective institutions. We also undertake a rigorous assessment of the institutions within which these students would actually be studying. And upon satisfying ourselves about the conditions of the programs, the institutions, as well as the support mechanisms that are put in place by these respective countries for South African students, we then undertake the process of recruitment, and then we send them to study there, and we monitor their stay on periodic basis. And I must say, in respect to those who have finished studying, the placement is quite impressive. It's over 80%. They get jobs just on the spot as they are returning back into the country. And the quality of programs are really not questionable. They are up to standard, and they are in fields that are regarded in high esteem in those countries as well as globally. So all the measures and mechanisms to assess the relevance and the practicability of a program, its suitability, we have satisfied ourselves, and we think in terms of the evidence which is before us that this is a very good opportunity for this students from South Africa to go and study abroad in various countries where there are such offers, because these are full scholarships that are actually assisting us to increase our training at post-grad level and in scarce and critical skills areas. So it's an opportunity that I presume nobody can say no when it is presented to you. I hope that addresses the question, basically. Now, in respect to NSFAS and the registration in our institutions, at the beginning of the year, registration throughout the country took place quite smoothly. We had to work with institutions, NSFAS, and ourselves into ensuring that we heighten communication on various key issues, especially in respect to the new funding and the registration processes that were to unfold in the incoming year. And we dispersed to all institutions a communique which we developed in partnership with all the relevant stakeholders in the system. And thereafter, there were quite a number of questions that were asked by individuals, institutions, and we developed a set of frequently asked questions and provided answers to each and every one of them. And during registration, we made it a point that from the department, we are out there on the ground in institutions, working with NSFAS, working with the USAF, with institutions, their financial aid offices, into ensuring that all students who require assistance, they do get assistance. Now, the challenges are more post-registration process, which then relate to some delay in the payment of allowances to students, which, as the Minister has indicated, is a matter that has been brought to the attention of NSFAS and institutions to speedily address. And there are measures in place to attend to these critical issues at the present moment, which in the main are emanating from the processes of reconciling registration data from institutions and the eligibility data of NSFAS. That's what is being attended to at the present moment by NSFAS, and institutions are supporting in that effort, and us as a department as well were supporting in that effort. In respect to the institutions that were highlighted where there have been protests or threat of protests, in the main, those issues were actually attended to. For instance, Nelson Mandela University. I was in charge in addressing the issues as they surfaced. Of course, one element of the issues, it was this question of allowances, and it got resolved, and we're addressing them on institutional basis. But it's not always the matters that are related to NSFAS that result into protests. There are other matters as well. Because if you take the case of Maluti, it's not as such related solely to NSFAS related issues. There are other issues and demands that a certain grouping of students is putting up, and upon attending an investigation to this matter, it's transpiring that some of these people are positive. Are not even students registered at Maluti TVET College, to be specific. It involves a lot of interest groups who would have perhaps hoped that they would be getting some fortunes in the operations and practices of the college. And upon tightening up the processes of financial management, procurement, it's not liked by other groupings, and they then find way to their way to instigate and destabilize institutions. And that management, which is doing good work, is put under severe pressure to give in into doing wrong things. So I think it's a matter that perhaps when we're looking at it, we have to look at it in context and have all the facts that are relevant to it. But it's not to say there aren't challenges in respect to the payment of allowances to students. No, that one it's a matter that is receiving our attention. We have acknowledged there is a team working at NSFAS at the present moment. After this session, we are going there until later in the evening today and tomorrow as well. Now, the other matters in respect to the research, why is it not a target? Now, the question of research is one of the key. It's the core business of our institutions, amongst other things. What we have done in the department, we have phased out research and development grant, teaching development grant, and introduced a university capacity development grant, which we have financed quite substantially to the tune of 984 million, which is starting this year. It's looking at student support quite comprehensively, because as we are investing this money, public money, in these institutions, we want to ensure that students are getting the necessary support they need in order to succeed in the system. It's the question of staff development, management and leadership development program, research and innovation, as well as curriculum development. It's encompassing all those areas, which then informs the program which we have developed into supporting training at the attainment of doctoral degrees, master's degrees by staff who are already employed in our institutions, and also encouraging students who are quite capable into becoming academics, support them, and also increasing the capacity of research in our institutions, including the appointment of research chairs in various areas of study. So the question of research is quite key in the work that we are doing. It has been enhanced and reinforced instead of it being neglected. I want to assure the Portfolio Committee. In respect to the infrastructure, Chair, we are taking here a comprehensive approach in dealing with it. We have developed as a department macro infrastructure plan as well as maintenance plan, because we knew that this is quite critical in the operations of our institutions at the present moment. Having learned some important lessons in the establishment of the two institutions, which are progressing quite fairly well in respect to the construction which is taking place there. So the mechanism and the model we adopted, now we are using that model for the entire system to support institutions that do not have capacity for infrastructure rollout in their areas of jurisdiction, as well as TVET colleges. That's why all the infrastructure projects in the department at the present moment, there is no one which is suffering any sickness. You can go to the establishment of the college campuses, the new institutions that are up there, and other infrastructure projects that are taking place in institutions. In actual fact, the critical challenge, it was around the question of land transfer, where it was not belonging to institutions, but owned by various parties, and we have facilitated resolution of all those outstanding issues. So the infrastructure rollout, we are ready and the institutions are ready. There is work which is happening in respect to that. This question of the programs that are offered at these institutions in respect to the TVET College lecturers, which is a new program. The institution which has been offering the program is UWC since 2017. They have started, you know, on that. And the other programs that we have assessed that are being offered by these respective institutions are the programs that met all the requirements that were needed to be met. In respect to 11 institutions, those programs are being developed at the present moment, and they are working on the feedback that was given to them to improve. They haven't been abandoned. They are still on course, but we want to make it a point that the question of accreditation is met fully so that we produce and we provide quality programs in the system. So in respect to those rigorous processes of quality assurance towards accreditation, we are not relaxing any area of assessment. So that's the assurance that we can give the portfolio committee. In respect to other areas, then my colleagues would come and fill in the gaps in their respective branches. Thank you. Maybe university?
Thank you very much, DG, and thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. I wanted to start there. Just to pick up on some of the questions that DG has left, and there are no universities that have been declined for offering of teacher qualifications for TVET colleges. They are in the process of approval. Five have been approved by the department, and then they are going through the process of accreditation, and then seven are also in the process of being approved. So also after approval by the DHET, then they will go for accreditation. Yes, the target, we are still on course to meet the target by the end of the 2019-2020 financial year. No, QCTO is not involved because these are the higher education programs, and the programs for higher education go through the CHE for accreditation, for approval, and certainly not via the QCTO. Now, DG has already responded on the one of the international mobility of students. I would like to humbly make a suggestion on this one, Chair, particularly on the issue of rankings of universities. I do think that if the portfolio committee probably could engage with our institutions' leadership on the rankings of the universities. It's a highly controversial program, and if we were to follow the rankings, we wouldn't be sending students at all, probably. And then also on the outsourcing one of training of supervisors, no, it's not been outsourced. It wouldn't be outsourced to DST. The UCDP or UCDG program that DG has mentioned, the University Capacity Program, Capacity Development Program, includes the training of supervisors. So that 900 and something amount money includes the training of supervisors. It's not new. It's been happening under the separate programs of the Research Development Grant and the Teaching Development Grant in the past. So now that it's the University Capacity Development Program, it continues there. And the who's responsible for the quality of teacher training? Yes, it's the DHET, and this work is part of the agenda of the collaboration between the DBE and the DHET. And so it's done in collaboration, but the DHET is responsible for the quality of training of teachers. The data on illegal or bogus colleges, we call them bogus colleges. It's the same term, illegal colleges. In fact, it's on our website. So it's a public document. We've got a list of bogus colleges. It doesn't end there. We have I don't know how many cases now with the police. We also report to SAPS for investigation and follow-up and prosecution, possibly. But of course, the ones that we have on our website as a list of bogus colleges are the ones we know and therefore list. But then as bogus colleges would crop up, more probably there's one that's cropping up now, and then once we get to know about it, then we also do that listing. And again, it doesn't end there. We go to those institutions. When we do this blitz, we go to those institutions. I think that will be it. Thank you very much.
David?
Great.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were actually not too many TVET questions. I think on the one on disruptions and Maluti specifically, the DG has replied. Honourable Pazoli, the number of 16, I can't confirm or deny that. It feels to me like it's a lot. There are at least four institutions that I sort of know of where we've had some issues, not all of them necessarily related to NSFAS and to the new money. But I think it would be best for me to come back with a comprehensive list that I can confirm rather than to try and guess now. On the matter of silo operations, I think that point is well taken. I do think, well, let me speak for the TVET branch, we really are trying to see how could we work with the university branch. For example, what lessons have they learned in the whole maintenance infrastructure thing that we could use, closer cooperation with the skills branch, because of course TVET and skills are quite closely related. So I think we are conscious of that, but nevertheless, I take the point. I think it is a valid point. Then moving along to the infrastructure and maintenance, again, the DG has spoken about that. We certainly have gone to a lot of effort to try and prepare our colleges, a lot of training sessions so that they understand the maintenance standards, but we do acknowledge that we have to put some project management structures in place, both at college and at national office, to support this maintenance plan. The matter of the colleges evaluated, this becomes a little bit of a long story. I try and be brief. At the moment, those colleges are being evaluated against best practice financial standards. Now, let me say then that we have developed as the DHET a set of financial policies which we have given to colleges to say to them, please implement these policies. Now, of course, they have independent councils and they may choose to adopt them or not to adopt them. And some of the colleges have not adopted those policies. So we have actually evaluated all of the 50 colleges, but not all of those colleges have been found to be compliant. And so one of the targets also that we've worked on this year is the financial policy, to make sure that we create it now as a policy, an overarching financial policy, where we can then force greater compliance in that matter. Okay, it's a bit of a long story, but I think that's the essence of it. I think the last issue for TVET was the 2016 data. It's just, Chair, that I realize we are now already in 2018, but it is difficult to verify all information and data by the time we report. So, I mentioned it just as a reminder to the committee to say it is verified data that we are reporting now, and it relates to the 2016 academic year. Sorry? Why do I mention it, or why do we do that? So it's around being able to report on verified information. You know, because as our financial, or as the academic year ends in December, there are processes that need to be concluded, there's verifications that need to be completed, and the time frame, say 3 or 4 months in the new year, is just not enough to conclude and verify all information. And so therefore, It's about just being able to produce verified information that we are confident about.
Yeah, there is a lag in respect to verification and auditing, you know, processes. It doesn't happen in that academic year. It's always a lag behind. So what we report, whether it relates to universities or TVET colleges, it's not at that point in time. It's the audited information, which is quite accurate. So there is always a lag behind. For instance, for universities, you wait until the auditing processes at institutional level is done and verified. And it's always the October of the previous year. So when we're reporting, we're not necessarily reporting as up to date insofar as the flow of months, years, you know, are concerned. So that's how the system works.
Carry on. Don't try and persuade me. I mean, I've got my view. Don't. No, I'm not asking anyone who's persuaded. Proceed with the next answer that
The bill, Chair, that you asked, we're informed that is in the Speaker's office here in Parliament.
Okay, can I just say I'm done with the TV questions.
Thanks.
Finance?
Finance?
Hand was up.
No, it's fine, Chair. I can quickly answer the finance questions. There are basically three matters that I would quickly want to deal with. The first is the issue of the final payments on skills levies. Which is much more than what was appropriated in the adjusted estimates. The position there is that the amounts, if I can start with the main appropriation, by National Treasury is an estimate of Treasury with SARS regarding the estimated collection of levies by SARS. So during the adjusted appropriation, they do a revision of that, be it more or less, and what happens then at the end of the financial year is each and every cent collected by SARS is transferred to the department for transfers to the CETAS and the NSF. And it happens in practice that that actual amount physically collected and transferred to the department and eventually paid may be either less or more than what was in the original estimate or in the adjusted estimate, and that is something that we are managing with National Treasury. For 2017-18, we eventually received 523 million more than what was included in the adjusted appropriation. The second matter, Chair, is the issue of banking details and the problem regarding the 30-day payments. Chair, indeed, what we are doing is that we only work from suppliers that is registered with National Treasury on the Central Supplier Database. Part of that registration requires the service provider to actually include their banking details. So by the time we receive or place an order, we actually verify the banking details also against the Central Supplier Database. What we actually experience in practice, and specifically for very small kind of service providers, is that by the time we receive the invoice and we process the payment on the system, the system rejects the payment through the Reserve Bank, not identifying the banking details linked to that specific service provider. So when we then contact the service provider, we would then find that within a short period, just before the payment was processed, the banking details were changed by the service provider. They either went to a new bank or they opened a new account, but the invoice and the banking details on the invoice did not change, and they did not yet update the central supply database information on the National Treasury's system. So that result in a position where we then as department have to re-register the service provider with the banking details, with the Reserve Bank. That is taking up to 2 weeks because we must wait for the confirmation from the side of the Reserve Bank whether they are in agreement with those details before we may make a payment. That is the main reason for the delay. However, see, what we are doing currently, and we hope that this will work, is if an invoice payment is rejected as a result of bank details, we are in future sending that invoice back to the service provider. We are not paying them unless they provide us with a new invoice, with a new date, with the correct details. And it is really something that is extremely difficult to deal with. Chair, the last matter is the differences between data provided by National Treasury as well as the information provided in the slides. Those differences are linked to the verified information by National Treasury prior to 31 March, prior to the application of shifting of funds and environments within the department. And I think that is where the deviations come in with the Treasury data. Treasury data are recorded as at a certain point in time without the implications of environment and shifting of funds. The department, with the approval of the accounting officer, and we did inform the minister as well as National Treasury as required in terms of the PFMA, did move funds around within the budget to ensure that all the programs do underspend and the vote as a whole. Thank you, Chair.
Program 2?
Can we finish Program 1, TJ?
Bob?
Thank you, TJ. There are two questions I have to respond to in as far as the e-recruitment system. We as a department, Chairperson, we were ready as early as February this year to go out on a procurement process for this system. However, we were then advised that there is this integrated financial management system that National Treasury is currently working on, and if the department desires to implement a system that is also covered in that system, we need to get the approval of National Treasury. There's actually a National Treasury instruction number 5 of 2017 that puts a moratorium on government departments to develop or design new systems that are covered in the IFMS. We've since written to National Treasury motivating why the department should be, you know, allowed to move ahead and procure the system. So we're just waiting for the approval, but we are ready, the tender process are ready. We also submitted them to Treasury, actually. The question of chairpersons not available. Chairperson, yes, we do have a challenge of chairperson, but in most cases, disciplinary cases are delayed because of postponement, wherein an official will not be available, they'll be presenting sick notes, but we also have a problem of chairpersons as well. What we are doing in respect to that, indeed, we are using the pool from DPSA. However, the challenge there is that those are state employees, they've got their own responsibilities. We've had a case where we even had to engage the HOD to release, you know, an official who was a chairperson in one of our cases. And that case dragged for something like 10 months because the official was just not available or making time to deal with the case. So the question of the DPSA pool still has its own challenges. But what we are doing and what we've done, which has assisted us to reach the target of 97%, is to train our own officials from colleges to chair. We use them across colleges. as chairpersons. But I want to say, chairperson here, what we are also doing is to train officials on the code of conduct, on policies, as a proactive strategy to prevent misconduct cases from happening or to reduce them, rather, because it doesn't assist not to address the cause of the problem and address it through misconduct cases. So I believe the measures that you've put in place are actually yielding good results for the department. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. I must say that I agree with Honorable Gillian with regard to this target of pass rate, because I normally equate this trade testing pass rate as like someone coming for learner's license, because you meet that person for the first time on the day he or she comes for the learner's license. You have not contributed to his or her training. You just meet him on that day. But then I say it's a good target to have, though. We were just a bit euphoric to have targeted 58%, because previously we targeted 52% and we met at 55%. And I must say we've been doing quite very well with regard to it. But then as we're going to be getting into the process of the MTSF cycle, I should think we can just try to review the targeting so that you don't be so excited or euphoric in terms of increasing up to an extent of even contemplating of 100%.
I protect the member against you saying she's euphoric.
Honorable Chairperson?
I'm just protecting the member against you saying euphoric.
Well, I was saying we are euphoric. We tend to be excited. Yes, we are euphoric. We are excited as a department. And now we have come to the realization with regard to meeting that target.
Let's conclude. It's 12 o'clock. We've got another report that we have to deal with. Are you done?
I'm not done, Chebesi.
How long are you still going to take?
Chebesi, you will cordially protect me from the Director General of the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Can you not interfere with the euphoric?
Thank you very much, Chebesi. The other one, Chairperson, is with regard to good governance. I must say that we've been piloting this because we approved the charter that was on the 30th March 2016. So we've been in the pilot mode. So we are also now synchronizing and bring some nexus of this governance charter into our National Skills Development Plan. And I must say, because we've just identified about 13 indicators for the period of piloting, and as we're moving forward as well, it's an area that we are going to be looking at it quite very closely and doing some close reading to it. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I was trying to be less in calories and footnotes, so that is why I was summarizing also in my presentation. Thanks
much
very much.
Much appreciated, Mr. Mvalo. DG, is that it? I think you answered for policy, didn't you?
I think that's it, Chair.
Yeah, you
that's
did.
It. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, thank you very much, Honourable Members. I am immediately... Ms. Magnus, are you going to lead us with the next report? Okay, go for it.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, just to say that we are now reporting on certification progress, and to say that I will lead the presentation, but I am supported by Uma Lucy and State Information Technology Agency. They are here and they are ready to answer the difficult questions. All right. Okay, so then if we get straight into the presentation, just to say, first of all, I think that the cooperation between the three parties has really improved and grown over the last months. We normally start our week off on a Monday morning, 7:30, where we manage all exam issues, and I think it really has created a platform where we engage and we try and resolve matters. So I think we are unified as we are here today. Then overall comment to make, our last exam cycle, end of 2017, by all accounts was really a good cycle. We had very little problems. And I'll talk about that as we talk about the different programs specifically. Also to say that since last year, September, the department has managed to process 69,216 certificates, of which 37,772 were issued to colleges, and students are then collecting those certificates from colleges. The 31,444 were students that actually failed or no certificates could be issued. So I think what we're trying to say there is that these are the number of records that we've processed, and even those students that then fail and are not eligible for a certificate still needs to be processed up until their conclusion. So we've dealt with that amount of records, but it's resulted in 37,000 certificates. Also to say that our e-query system that the department has implemented is functioning well. We have recorded on that system 1,309 queries. Of those queries, 779 were resolved and 44 were cancelled. So simply students withdrew them or they were incorrectly logged. So that's quite a small amount. There are still 507, if one does the maths, remaining in the system, and we continue to work on resolving each and every one of those queries. On to the next slide. So I think when this project started, our initial objective was really to clear backlog. We're starting with the NCV backlog. To date, we believe that backlog has now been cleared. Again, I'll get into some of the details. As for the NATED certification of the 2017 November examination cycle, there were minimal challenges. We do have some historic challenges, and in fact, this is across all of the programs, where we have subject results and the integration of those subject results to then say which candidate is eligible for the final certificate remains or has been a problem that we've dealt with. So in the NCV, we've dealt with it first, where we've managed to create that integrated data adequately. The NATED programs is the one that we're dealing with at the moment. For NATED 1, 2, and then in 4 to 6, that consolidation process is tidied up until 2016 November, and we believe all those consolidations are done. For the NATED Level 3, we are up to 2016, the August examination cycle. So the consolidation of certification is planned to be completed by the end of August of this year. Okay. To say that these are historical IT systems, and CETA continue to enhance the IT system. All right. For the GETC ABET, for the November exam cycle 2011, it was completed successfully with minimal challenges. Then to say that Umalusi, in concurrence and consultation with the DHET and CETA, introduced new requirements for resulting of data sets, and specifically the processing of bulk resulting processes. These changes were made in the IT system, and processing has commenced and is planned that the resulting and certification will be concluded by the end of June 2018. So it's the sort of infusion then of those changes. Challenges were experienced with the combined certification extraction of programs for candidates who sat for examinations from 2010 to 2017 across different provinces, which were subsequently addressed in May of this year. So again, when I speak to the specific program, just to say that the CET exams are run provincially, and so data is collected in a different way in that process, which then has some nuances and differences in process. All right, if we then move on and speak specifically about the NCV certification, I think we've said it, we've had a good exam cycle, and our supplementary exams have taken place, and we are now finalizing the supplementary examinations that took place, and I think really we are online or on target. As of the 9th of April, there is currently 308 NCV certificates that needs processing. That those results from the 2016 and 27 academic years, and but those 308 certificates result to issues where there were irregularities or changes in moderation and so on. So that's not really certificates that we should see as the normal course, but for some or other reason results were withheld until those irregularities are dealt with, and then once those results are released, we are now in a process of dealing with those 308 NCV certificates. Still continuing on NCV, at the moment we are also preparing our data towards the new exam system that we are developing. So we are running completeness tests in all our data. So while we believe the NCV backlog is dealt with, we are still looking at data sets on an ongoing basis to make sure that all of the data is as clean as it could possibly be for the migration that we are anticipating onto the new system. So in that process, for example, we have 73 records that have been identified where, for example, we have the same ID numbers but different sequence numbers. Now, you know, it's then up to the CETA to say, all right, how do we clean that data, and how do we make sure that those ID numbers are connected to the right person? So in an attempt to, for example, resolve that, we have entered into a relationship with the Department of Home Affairs as well, where we are confirming ID numbers and we are making sure that all our exam data is tidied up. So it's a sort of ongoing process of ensuring that we clean the data as we move the process forward. All right, then if we move on to NATED, the November exam cycle really went without a hitch. For this year, we have just released our results for the April examinations, and then those certificates will be issued in August. In as far as the backlog goes, examination certificates were executed and released for single exam sittings. So most of the NATED issues are now resolved as well, apart from those that I mentioned earlier. All right, then in terms of the IT system, I think I've spoken about that. It's the issue of consolidating of different subjects results into then an overall certificate for completion at a particular level. That remains difficult. Similar to the NCV, we are also running completeness tests in the NATED data, so that we also ensure that when we transfer and migrate data that those are ready. So then just to say, a program to list records not yet certificated for an exam sitting indicated that 60,800 records impacting 53 candidates is outstanding, but we must understand that those will not necessarily lead to certification. So this is something in our NATED data that we are dealing with. But as I indicated on the first slide, all the data and all the records you deal with doesn't necessarily mean those are young people that needed certificates. They may have failed, they may have dropped out, but still we have to process the record to conclusion. And they, again, may be subject certificates rather than, you know, a completed certificate. So 60,000 records that we are dealing with there. In the CET space, exam results were executed and released for this system. The same IT challenges that we have, the consolidation issues on the NATED and NCV and NATED, we also have in the CET exams. So we've really taken them in stages. We've dealt with the NCV, then the NATED, and now we are on the CET. And we are hoping that the processing of these resulting return files are in process and will be finalized by May. The certification process
then after that is aimed to be completed by June 2018. So it's actually quite tight turnaround times in terms of issuing certification. All right, the CET backlog, is now really the issue of dealing with provinces and how provinces report on record data. The one thing that we are not quite able to deal with yet, but we are working on our IT platforms, is where students move from one province to another. And then trying to consolidate that data where students move across provinces. So we acknowledge that this is something that we don't quite have under control yet, but processes are in place to look at that. For the ABET Level 4 examinations in 2015 to 2016, there are 31,000 records outstanding. Again, these are records, these are not necessarily certificates, but we can see that there's quite an improvement because this is 15,000 less than it was with our last reporting. Okay, all right, I've spoken about that. Then just to say the IT functionality right now for the data for 2010 and beyond, so up until today, we feel that the IT system, so apart now from the thing of the across-province movement, the consolidation is almost, on par. But for the 2010 data going back, there's still some work that needs to be done on the IT system there. All right, then certification queries. One of the big things that we want to work on is this issue of certificate by subject versus a completion certificate. I think a lot of the misunderstanding here, and I guess to the public at large, is that the numbers of certificates outstanding look enormous, but there is a certificate that's issued for every subject. So the DHET has formally started to engage with Umalusi to say, please, can we do away with the subject certificates and let us rather issue a statement of results, should a student exit the system, so that at least he has a record should he decide to study later on in life, but that we don't record this as certificates outstanding. It's simply not time and cost effective to do so. And so there has been agreement on this, and we will work towards implementation of this statement of results matter. Okay, I think let me rest there. Then just another issue on private colleges. We see that not all our private colleges, they must pay Umalusi for the service delivered. Of course, I think that's a normal thing, and often they do not pay. So although almost 7,000 student records or certificates have been processed, only about 2,100 has been released in those cases where payment has been received. So I think this is a matter that we need to focus on, because whether they're private learners or public learners, they're still learners in our system, and I think perhaps it is something that the DHET could consider in, how do we really also ask private providers to do their part to ensure that students are certificated. So I think it's one of the matters that we need to think about. All right, then my next slide is really an example of the sorts of effort that goes into resulting. So by example, the certification process is very intensive and involved, and to illustrate this, from September 2017 until May 2018, CETA has had to deal with roughly 400 data sets that were submitted to Umalusi for NCV, of which there was a total of 10,788 candidate records not initially accepted. So as these data sets go, some of the records are rejected, and then that means that CETA really has to go into the details of those rejected learners and start to find what has caused the errors to fix those sorts of errors. So it really becomes quite a time-intensive process to do.
For NATED, we dealt with 98 data sets, of which there were 3,000 rejections. So it's really just to illustrate the enormity of the task that this team is undertaking. But the IT systems are continuously being enhanced, and we are trying to also lighten the load with enhancements of the IT system. If we then look at the end diploma, all our blockages around the end diploma has now been dealt with, and at the moment it's approximately taking 1 month from receiving the submission of end diploma to the issuing of the end diploma. Also, just to note that this now falls within the domain of QCTO, and they really have also been a strong partner in providing some guidance and assistance in this process. All right, and then my final three slides is just about our new IT system to give some feedback about how that is going. So you will know that we issued a tender to a company by the name of Resolve Solutions, and that was for a 3-year process to work on a new exam system. They have started work in April of 2016, and all those processes are really well underway now. Okay, so currently the new system, things that are already completed is the access and security modules, student management, exam center, and payment modules. And currently the resulting staff members and super users are involved in testing of these modules. So how it works is that they develop the particular modules. We then first have a functionality testing phase that we go through to make sure it meets the specification that we set out. And then the next phase is where our actual users start to work on the system to see whether they are happy. And so adjustments and improvements is made to the system, you know, as they develop it. Then modules that are now in process is the resulting certification, irregularities, remarks, timetables, exam preparation, and business intelligence reporting. So they are currently busy with those. We hope that our exam cycle at the end of this year, in 2018, that we will be able to run both the existing CETA system and the new system concurrently. So that, you know, it gives us a first round of testing the new system. I must be honest, there's a lot of pressure on us to meet that deadline. So that's my end of the week meeting, is a consistent meeting also with the Resolve team to make sure that we are on track with that process. And then if all things go to plan, then that should take us to implementation in 2019. And that's that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Mavunda, up. Honourable Killian, up. Proceed. Your surname is Killian, aren't you?
I thought Honourable Mavunda wanted. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the feedback. It's a very good presentation. My only criticism is that it does not contain sort of easy reference to where we started, because I think if we look at where we started, you know, in terms of sort of a bar chart, then actually what we're facing now is really insignificant, except that there are some persisting challenges, and obviously one would have to address that. Quick questions. If you're saying that it takes so long, I'm referring to slide 3, there are still 507 in the system that must be resolved. What is the nature of those and why does it take so long? Then clearly also as far as the historical IT system challenges is concerned, the issue about the subject results, I think that is posing a significant, especially if we continue with the subject certificates, because that is just making it sort of very cumbersome. So I'm happy that you're looking at simplifying the system. I mean, it is a good qualification, and that we should never lower the standard. But the way that we capture sort of a student moving through the system, I think we should look at facilitating that. I would love to have CETA's report back, Chairperson, if they believe that the system could be further sort of simplified. Is there anything? Because I understand where we come from. But it was a whole thing of different systems that didn't talk to each other. There was a problem with NATED and NCV, and it was just a nightmare. But surely, as technology develops, we can move on that. My question would also just be, if we look at the current situation, where do we have almost a cut-off date to engage with individual students? To help them to rewrite at no additional cost or whatever so that they can receive their qualifications. If it is a case of a subject qualification, surely special provisions could be made. If it is a final qualification, then there must be a sort of assessment, a thorough assessment. But surely one should look at that. Because in the end, the concern that I had was at some stage, some of the colleges allowed students to write examinations and they did not qualify to write. Has that problem been resolved? Because that obviously overburdened the system as well. So I would like to know what interventions are made if you're looking for the CET certification backlog. And you don't get cooperation from provinces, what intervention is being made? Is it taken to the MINMEC meeting, et cetera, so that there's action from the minister to help you? What happened to the proposal that one would have to move if you compare vocational to academic? You know, it's you have an external assessment at the end of a matric examination. What happened to the proposal that you are also looking at other exit points and not sort of, you know, in between? Chairperson, lastly, I'm happy that they will be doing concurrent testing and not move over to a new system without testing the system. I understand that there's pressure on you, but I think it is important for us to know that we move onto a system that is reliable and will present the results. Going back to the problem that you're finding with certification queries on slide 13, if you're saying that there was a problem that some certificates could not be released in private colleges because they were not released because the students were not paying, has the time not come for the department to pass regulations to compel those institutions that they must have a different approach? They must have a deposit paid to the institution to retain money for testing at the end of the qualification. We can't have a situation, Chair, where we have 7,310 candidates and only 2,169 certificates are issued. Why? Because colleges don't pay Uma Lucy. It is unacceptable. And if these colleges do not cooperate, they would have to face the risk of losing the accreditation with the department. Otherwise, it's a semi-bogus college. I won't call it a complete bogus college, but if they don't help students obtain their certificates, why should we have them accredited as institutions? They're wasting the money of students and parents who cannot push them any further because they've paid for their tuition,
Now they just want their results and their certificates. So that matter is a very serious matter, and I believe that the department should pass regulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, and I must tell you it has been great progress. I think we must give credit where credit is due. Just a few questions from my side. And before the questions, can I just say, I think we've also learned today what the negative implications have been of the struggle. We've learned that one of the reasons offered why the enrollment figures at our community training centers have gone down is because the bad name that they got due to their learners not receiving certificates. So it's a vicious issue which goes beyond just somebody not being able to apply for a job because he or she hasn't got. It's the image of the department and its institutions that have really been tarnished by this. And therefore, I have a few questions. The first one is, how will we be able to identify similar problems in future far earlier? Because, you know, there was a time when everybody was complaining about it, but you know, there was such a huge, it first had to explode, it first had to become an enormous issue before the corrective steps were taken. Surely we can't go that route again. How will we, what checks do we have in place now? Not only in terms of certificates, but similar problems. The second one is, you refer people and you advise people to make use of the e-query system, but will the e-query system also have information for students who are not only doing the NATET, NCV, CET or ABET qualifications, but also other qualifications such as for the QCTO? Can I also, when I've done an early childhood development qualification, can I also phone the e-query? Would they also be able to assist me? And then, Chair, have you already started preparing for the National Senior Certificate for Adults? We've heard of the material being developed. The minister said in an answer he's just waiting for a budget from Treasury to roll out because the syllabus, etc. But it seems to me, Chair, in the past what we've done is we've waited until the people, let's call it, wrote the exams, and then we started thinking of the design of the certificate, the printing of the certificate, the software required to put everything together. My question is, have you already started? If not, can you guarantee us, or can you assure us today that once the first people write the National Senior Certificate for Adults, that the software will be in place? Thank you. Sorry, Chick, can I just, do you have any idea of what's happening with those certificates under the control of the QCTO? Do we have similar delays there, or must we still wait until we learn when it's too late?
No, Chair, just to support the decision on doing away with subject certificates because they were not cost-effective. So it is a good decision that they just certify a qualification. Yeah, that one is commendable. It will also reduce the burden because it was also exacerbated by these subject certificates, of which one cannot get any employment. If you are being certified for just English, you cannot go with this certificate and find a job. So really, yeah. Thank you.
So you are a mathematician with your certificate. Yes. Thank you for the questions, honourable members. From my side, look, I think we've dealt with the issue of the private colleges other time. We have said you should maybe tell us which colleges they are. When we bump into them, go to them, ask them, then we know these are the colleges that we
that we are dealing with that are giving you problems. So we didn't get that information yet because it's the same issue that you are raising with us, that the private colleges are still the ones that are causing the problem. DJ and Umma Lucy. Saying that we are extremely delighted. I feel like clapping hands for this report that you have presented to us here. We've traveled a long way on this issue, and we've been having lots of words to each other on this issue. But we must thank all of you for not giving up on this matter and bringing us to where we are now. We're now talking 2017. One little page I saw 2016, and I see 2018 on the pages. So I think that is great progress. Well done, everyone, and especially the first word line that you gave, Chair, we are now working together. And that's very good. I was very happy with that first sentence that you giving, and we ask that nothing stands in your way from staying together, because it's about the young people out there, and some are not too young also who are studying that also require certificates. There isn't a lot of question that has been asked. There's lots of accolades that has been given, DG and Umma Lucy and Sita, and it's up to you to respond in the kind manner that we have.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I won't follow the euphoria of Mr. Mvalo, but thanks a lot for the encouraging words. Really, the team has been working quite very hard into putting the state of affairs where they are in respect to resulting and certification in the entire TVET college sector. But perhaps Mrs. Magnus would be best suited to respond to the pertinent questions, Umma Lucy as well as the SETA, you know.
Shall we start with?
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. If I can just elaborate in terms of the question that was asked in terms of the types of issues that we still experience and the categorisation of those type of issues. What we still find is that there's historical irregularities that has not been finalised. So they're not in a final state, and therefore we couldn't then complete some of the certification of those candidates. Also, some of the admission requirements that was set in the past, where a candidate was allowed to enrol for a next qualification without achieving the preceding qualification, those ones will also be withheld. And then also invalid candidate details. For instance, if you don't have all the correct information, date of birth and those type of information, we cannot continue with certification. And therefore, we've now also used the Home Affairs data to make sure that we can clean up those type of data as well. And then there are also some challenges with regards to the data, as mentioned, where we work in collaboration then with Umma Lucy as well to look through the academic history of the candidate to make sure that we align that data for the candidates as well. And in terms of the proactive measures that we take to prevent this from reoccurring, as we said, is we actually took all the verification now earlier in the process. So after enrolments, we will check the validity of the candidate information there. Then also in the execution of the resulting process, is we will make sure that we check all the prerequisites, if that were adhered to, and then we've got standard operating procedures and job schedules that are checked and proactively monitored to make sure that we don't find out any problems later on during the processes as well. Thank you.
Good day, Chair and Honourable Members. I just want to give a view in terms of with regards to CET and if we do not get any cooperation from provinces. From a system perspective, what we are doing is that we are bringing the controls in line with that of NCV, where we are able to identify what has been processed, what's not been processed, And what we also go through is that we go through a training process with provinces as well to explain them in terms of how to go about doing the resulting as well as certification, because that is where we have picked up certain problems. So all in all, I think from that particular perspective, I just want to note that that particular system was also cloned from a previous system, which didn't have a lot of controls. So whereas NCV, we put a lot of effort, a lot of time to take it to the level where it is right now, what we are doing is we are leveraging off that experience and bringing that onto the CET system. So from that perspective, it is actually going quite well.
Chairperson, honorable members, thank you for the opportunity. I just want to say about the colleges in arrears, we will email you the list. We have now issued almost 2,000 certificates for individual candidates who paid, so we have the system up and running. And then the other thing is also about the NASCA. We can give you any information on the implementation of this qualification. So as soon as we receive it, we will start with the certification process. And then in addition to the Monday mornings, we also have the certification task team with DHET, where we work on operational issues. So from Omalusi's side, we are really doing everything in our power to ensure that we improve processes. We also just want to say with confidence here that we really issue all the requests as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Jay, I think most of the issues have been answered. Just the one on different exit points. There is a proposal and a concept that we have worked on in terms of that we will be presenting to the minister for discussion and hopefully for approval, so that we do reduce our exit levels. I mean, that has more to do with the financing and the management of exams, but of course it will have effective role on certification. So that is something that we will be presenting to the minister. Then the e-query system, to my understanding, is limited to the NATED and the NCV programs. It's not really about the QCTO qualifications. But then talking about the silo issue a bit earlier, maybe, you know, we have created that platform. Perhaps it is something that we need to discuss with Mr. Mvolo to see how we can also leverage that for the other quality councils. I can't see why not, but we would have to look at it. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And once more, we want to thank you because you were hard on us, not because you hated us. Yeah, and the team that has put such an effort, and I think this is the strength of teamwork and integration of the processes, and working hard, you know, quite taking a lot, you know, from us. No, thank you very much, Chair.
Certainly. Together we can do more, DG. That's what you must remember. Together we can do more. No, absolutely. On that wonderful note, honourable members, may we wish you well. Don't drop the ball, don't drop the ball. Just stay there. And it is better that we know what the problems are, so that we together can see how do we also solve the problems from our side. But DG, Umalusi, Sita, the entire delegation of the department and the AG there at the back, was quiet there. No one had questions to you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, give me a reason why I must let you stay here. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. The meeting ended.